Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, 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 my Redneck and I's friends and family and fellow truckers out there tonight. This is Tiffany with Women of Redneck and I's on Wednesday, January 11th at 7 p.m. And here in East Liverpool, we're sitting at 44 degrees in January. Now, mind you, it was 48 here today, and we are going to be hitting the 50 mark tomorrow. Here last week, we had 60-some degrees. So, hey, I'm not complaining, right? It's not snow. Now, mind you, the rain, it kind of sucks because it makes everything mud and we just have all kinds of a mess when we do the mud or the rain. But with that being said, we're getting closer to spring. We are 60-some days, 70-some days away from spring. So, hey, yay! Now, let's just hope that that groundhog actually goes our way. So we've been talking about a little bit of everything, these rules and regs that they want to change. And last week we talked about a few other things with, you know, we've talked about the autonomous trucks, the electric trucks, all those things. And we all know we hate them. So we're not going to even going to get into that, right? Okay, good deal. All right. So I am, okay, I didn't know tonight because my nephews, they're 14, and they play basketball for Southern Local, which is their school here. They were actually playing my alma mater, Beaver Local. So, and it used to be only one of the twins played and the other one didn't because he didn't like basketball. He was into baseball and wrestling and they both did football. Well, one doesn't do football now. The other one does football and one doesn't do baseball now and the other one does baseball, but they both do basketball. I was determined I was going to see one of their games because I haven't been to the football games or the baseball games because sometimes a lot, well, not sometimes, 90% of the time, my sister forgets to tell me when they are because, you know, they're my nephews. I'm going to go cheer them on. Well, tonight I went and seen their game. It started at 5:30. And it, I mean, it's 10, 15 minutes from here, give or take, depending on if I get both red lights. And I figured, okay, I'm doing this. I am going to go to their game. I left here about 10 after 5. I was almost to the high school because, like I said, they were playing my alma mater, which they built a new school a few years ago. It's the first time I've ever been in it. But anyways, so I wanted to go. And Greg calls me, he's like, where are you going? I was like, the Twins baseball or basketball game. Did you forget I told you? Oh, okay. And then like 10 minutes after that, he sends me a message. What, no show tonight? No, I got this. As you see, I am on. I am here. If I was going to cancel the show or delay it, I would have gladly let all of our fellow listeners know this. But we are on and we are ready to go. So, which is great because, mind you, I like being on here with you guys. Whether you're here with me or not, or I'm just sitting here literally talking to my screen on my own, I'm here with you. And we are together. That is what I want. I want us all together chit-chatting and catching up on what's going on with you, how's your family, and all of that, you know. Okay. I'm sending out a message to let everybody know that we are on. Okay, so there's been a lot of things going on in the news here lately. And, you know, I'm not one to talk about the politics of the whole aspect of it, you know, because like I said, I don't get into the politics because I think they're all idiots and that's just plain and simple. And we all know this. We know they're all idiots, and they just think they can do whatever they want, whenever they want. And we know that's not the way it needs to be, right? So I usually don't get into all of that. So, and I'm not going to get into that tonight, okay? I might be telling a little bit of a, a, a fable there. But yes, what I'm going to say about this is this. Why is it when President Trump had documents in Mar-a-Lago, they went in and raided the whole place and took them, and they want to impeach or, you know, put him in prison because of having classified, quote unquote, documents, which he unclassified in order to take them. And now Biden was found in, I can't remember what it was that he said he had it, where they were at, but he was in there and he had documents as well. So why is it okay for one and not for the other? What is your idea of that? So, give me your ideas. What do you think? Okay. I am, you know, of course, naturally typing more. So when I start typing, I don't listen or I don't talk. Because if I type and talk at the same time, I kind of type when I talk. Okay. And by the way, everybody remember, Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So naturally, post offices will be closed. Banks will be closed. Courthouses, you know, all of that. So be prepared, especially if you guys do your bills and when you send your bills in to get paid off on and it gets direct deposited, more than likely you will not get your money in your bank on Monday. So just remember that. And that will be January 16th. Okay. So here we go. All right, I sent those out. Now, I'm reading everything via my phone instead of pulling it up on my screen. That way I can see, actually, I should do it on my screen because I like to be able to look and see who's coming online, but I want to make sure I can see everything. Oh, no. I'm trying to get to Overdrive because I do like a lot of their apps or their apps, their reports. So let me get to Overdrive. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Okay, Overdrive, just so y'all know, I know you want to know this, right? Overdrive has a trucker of the year. Okay. You can enter. This is what it says. Just so, I mean, because I would love to see somebody that has been to our group and been out there with us and done it, you know, Matt's over the years. And I would love to see some of them in here. Okay. All right. And in order to be recognized as the 2023 Overdrive Trucker of the Year, truck driver recognition programs abound via fleets and associations around trucking. For year 2023, Overdrive is launching this Trucker of the Year program to recognize the business and innovation of the owner-operator of the entrepreneurial spirit of trucking. Whether you're leased to another motor carrier or out on your own as an independent, if your controlled cost and maintenance maintained healthy profits in the current inflationary environment, you are no doubt a worthy contender. As with Overdrive's Trucker of the Year program of past years, independents, both leased and with authority up to 3 trucks in their case, can nominate themselves. Alternately, if you're a representative of a motor carrier brokerage or other service provider with a business relationship to an outstanding owner, you can nominate that owner. Winners ultimately will have demonstrated above average profit and safety and put small business trucking best practices in place, laying the groundwork for long-term business health. What's in it for you? No shortage of bragging rights, no doubt for a year's reign. A custom designed scale model highway tractor as trophy. Visibility through features of overdriveonline.com, including podcasts and videos. Coverage beyond Overdrive in sister publications, Trucker News, and others. The kind of exposure that, in the long run, could yield new opportunities. And how does it work? Overdrive editors will interview the best applicants, review submitted operating criteria, and select a trucker of the month for every month throughout 2023 for those 12 standout owner operators. A final trucker of the year will be named in early 2024. The initial application, you'll find it below, must be filled out completely. If there is certain figures you or the nominating individual don't have, provide the best estimate. Entries will be open through mid-2023. After the first entry form, be on the lookout for a follow-up email from Overdrive editor Todd Dills requesting further information of potential finalists for the monthly recognition. Your eligibility is this. You have to meet all these criteria, operating either with motor carrier authority or leased to another carrier over the last 4 full calendar years. So you have to be with the same company from 2019 to 2022. If you have not been with them that long, do not need to apply. Operated with 3 or fewer Class A trucks in for hire freight, owned or leased, for all of 2022. Incentives and commitment. Each of the monthly finalists will receive a cash award to be determined among other prizes. Finalists for the Ultimate 2023 Trucker of the Year will be featured prominently, in an Overdrive story and in Trucker News. The winner also will receive a custom-built scale model tractor as trophy designated with the Overdrive Trucker of the Year. Winners agree to acknowledge that neither Randall Riley nor any sponsors has made any representation to winner regarding the tax consequences related to the receipt of any prize. All expenses and costs, including all applicable taxes associated with the acceptance and or use of any prize, are the sole and exclusive responsibility of the winner. Okay, and then it goes into all the application and stuff like that. So check it out. That's on Overdrive, okay, overdrivemagazine.com. But that would be pretty cool if somebody that we know here at Redneck and I's can say, hey, that's somebody that's been to our show or been to our tent at Matt's and you know, even better if you put a shout out to Redneck and I for getting you in touch with Overdrive to be Trucker of the Year. Okay, let's see. Equipment. A bunch of different things going on here naturally, as always, because there's always something new going on. Okay. California considered its unfriendly autonomous trucking rigs. Oh, my Lord. Here we go. We knew California was going to be doing something when it comes to this. Because, hey, it's California. What else do they have to do but make truckers' lives miserable, right? Okay. California considering its unfriendly autonomous trucking rigs. So let's see what they have to say about this. All right, despite being home to many companies involved in developing autonomous trucking technologies, heavy-duty trucks are currently prohibited from testing or deploying in California. California has permitted public testing of autonomous commercial vehicles trucks since 2019, but there is a 10,000-pound weight limit. That, however, may change. Okay. Just before 2022 closed, the California Department of Motor Vehicles announced a workshop on autonomous vehicles regulations, inviting the public to participate and provide ideas regarding the development of proposed regulations governing the operation of autonomous vehicles. I commend the California DMV for announcing a workshop on autonomous light-duty and heavy-duty trucks, said Jeff Farrow, executive director of the Autonomous Vehicle Industry Association. Better known as the Autonomous Vehicle Industry Association looks forward to participating to ensure Californians see the supply chain and safety benefits of AV trucks. AVA was a signatory on a letter sent to the governor, Gavin Newsom, in June, joined by more than 30 AV developers like Aurora, Embark, TuSimple, Plus, Uber, Freight, Volvo Autonomous Solutions, Waymo, the trade organizations, noting that it's been more than a decade since legislation enabled autonomous driving originally passed. Whew, tongue-tied here. And over this period, there have been no movement for autonomous trucking regulations. The workshop will be held January 27th at 9 a.m. at the California State University Harper Alumni Center. The state's regulations currently have California mostly sitting on the sidelines as autonomous tech companies increasingly forge freight hauling partnerships and clear safety hurdles on a path to commercial viability. Uber Freight and Volvo Autonomous Solutions kicked off late last year a multi-phase commercial and technology partnership to deploy Volvo's autonomous transport solution on the Uber Freight network. We all love Uber Freight, right? Uber Freight will be one of the VA's first customers to pilot its hub-to-hub autonomous offering. As a part of the partnership, VAS, V-A-S, and that is the Volvo Autonomous Solutions, will offer autonomous freight capability or capacity to Uber Freight shippers on select routes starting in, you ready for this, Ed? Texas. All right. Aurora Innovation recently released the latest version of its integrated hardware and autonomy system to its autonomous trucking fleet in Texas, inching closer to commercial launch. Continue to increase weekly hauls of freight for pilot customers like FedEx, Uber Freight, Werner, and of course, good old Schneider. Union Pacific Railroad, the largest Class 1 railroad in the U.S., became the first customer to move freight on TuSimple's fully automated trucking route between Tucson and Phoenix, Arizona metro areas this spring. Knight/Swift Transport is placing its drivers behind the wheel of an Embark-powered truck, allowing Knight/Swift to collect data regarding system safeties and operational performance. The first Embark-powered truck will begin integrating into Knight/Swift's daily operations to move loads for large shippers on the Los Angeles to Phoenix lane. Okay, so what do y'all think? I'm glad they're going to do it all out there in California, right? Let them be the one to deal with it. All right. Moving right along here. So that's always fun, you know, autonomous trucks, and we know how much fun they are going to be in the long run. Really? I don't know. Okay. EPA eyeing more strict particulate matter regulations. They just won't stop, will they? Why is my thing not working? Ah, gotta love it. Okay. Just as I get to pull it up, it wants to give me all kinds of troubles. Gotta love how technology works. They say it's the best thing ever. Is it really, though? Sometimes it might be great. Other times it's just stinks, right? Okay. Okay, EPA eyeing more strict particulate matter regulations. All right. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, on Friday proposed tighter particulate matter soot regulations, citing health concerns that the fine particulates penetrate deep into the lungs and can result in serious health effects that include asthma attacks, heart attacks, and premature death. EPA will accept public comment for 60 days once the proposal is published in the federal regulations or federal registration. Register. Okay, so they're saying that the stuff that's coming out of our trucks is going to kill us. Okay. Yeah, we can all say that sometimes it's not the best. But you know what? For all of the people over the years that worked in the coal factories and has dealt with that, or, you know, has family that worked in it, or you work in a steel mill now. There's stuff in the air every day that's going to kill us. Okay, a particular air quality concerns are residents of disadvantaged areas, which tend to be located along highways, near industrial parks, and transportation hubs. The EPA just last month updated emission standards for heavy-duty commercial vehicles for the 2027 model year, tightening tailpipe NOx-X limits to the level of 80% plus below the current standard, a benchmark truck and engine OEMs nearly universally called challenging. I can see that where it would be challenging. Diesel-powered vehicles, vessels, locomotives, and equipment account for more than 60% of all nitrogen oxides and more than 70% of all fine particulate matters, emissions from U.S. transportation sources. According to the union concerned scientists, diesel exhaust particulate matters include soot and aerosols like ash particulates, metallic abrasion particles, sulfates, and silicates. EPA said in June 2021 it would consider the Trump administration's December 2020 decision to retain the 2012 PM2.5 standards, citing available scientific evidence and technical information indicated that the standards may not be adequate to protect public health and welfare. This proposal to deliver stronger health protections against particulate matter is grounded in the best available science, advancing the Biden-Harris administration commitment to scientific integrity and rigorous scientific process, said EPA Administrator Michael Regan. The move by EPA would bolster the national ambient air quality standards from PM2.5 to better protect communities, including the most overburdened by population. These particulates may be emitted directly from a source such as a construction site, unpaved roads, fields, smokestacks, or fires. Other particulates form in the atmosphere as a result of complex reactions of chemicals such as sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, which are pollutants emitted from power plants, industrial facilities, and vehicles. EPA's proposal will specifically take comment on strengthening primary annual PM2.5 standard from the current level of 12 micrograms per cubic meter to a level between 9 and 10 micrograms per cubic meter. The agency is also taking comment on the full range, including in the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee's latest report, between 8 and 11 micrograms per cubic meter. No one should be sickened by the environment they live in. And the EPA's proposal marks the start of changes that will have lasting impacts in communities all over, especially black and brown communities that often experience increased PM pollution, said Dr. Doris Brown, former president of the National Medical Association. Harmful air pollution can have lasting and devastating impacts on people's health, but by strengthening air quality standards, we can ensure healthier and more sustainable communities across the country. Since EPA completed its last review of the PM NAAQS in 2012, the agency said thousands of new scientific studies have demonstrated the dangers of soot exposure. Strengthening the primary annual PM2.5 standard is expected to address disparities, and would result in significant public health benefits. EPA eliminates that if finalized, a strengthened primary annual PM2.5 standard at a level of 9 micrograms per cubic meter and the lower end of the proposed range would prevent up to 4,200 mature deaths per year, 270,000 lost workdays per year. The result in as much as $43 billion in net health benefits in 2032. EPA said it will work with state, local, and tribal nations air agencies to implement the revised primary annual PM2.5 standard when finalized. Friday's proposal is the latest in the board suite of programs under President Biden's leadership to reduce air population in communities, including the proposed Good Neighbor Plan to address smog that affects downwind states, rules to address air pollution from oil and gas operations, including methane pollution, and other critical rules to reduce emissions from power plants and the transportation sector, such as a recently finalized clean trucks rule that slashes smog and soot forming population or pollution from heavy duty trucks. Additionally, funding from the president's bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act aimed at cutting pollution from school buses and trucks, port operations, and electricity generations are also expected to reduce soot and other harmful air pollutants. EPA is also proposing to revise other aspects related to the PM standards, such as monitoring requirements and the Air Quality Index, that will help states and tribal nations meet the revised standards while making significant strides toward protecting the health of all people, including at-risk populations. The agency is proposing to retain the primary 24-hour PM2.5 standard of 35 micrograms per cubic meter while taking comment on revising this level to as low as 25 micrograms per cubic meter. And this leads us into comments, okay? And there's 15, and I'm not going to say all of them are actually, you know, all about this. But I'm going to read you a couple of these comments here. Because with these comments, just briefly kind of looking over it, this particular person, PD Goldstein, 36, it states, if you want to be kind to human life, get rid of DPF, or DEF, not DPF, DEF. I believe it's the biggest health concern from diesel vehicles. Never lose sight that all these California BS emission laws are all based on research done by a guy with a dime store diploma who didn't know his butt base about any of this. But that didn't stop Mary Nichols and her band of commies from letting it go into law. Best thing to do, don't run California. Let them drown in their own stupidity. Aye, aye, Captain, I agree. Okay, another one here goes on, another comment, which these are some good ones. Okay, this is from Todd Arrow Barrett something. I think that's how it is, but, you know, we're going to say Todd. They worry about trucks but don't care about airplanes and the chemical trials they produce over neighborhoods and schools. Planes fly in and out of Orlando every 3 minutes, dropping all kinds of pollution. As usual, Biden goes after working people, not the airlines that he bailed out and then get federal bailout. That we bail out and then they get federal bailouts. Not to mention, there's no evidence of global warming and climate change. It's a made-up problem by the Affirmative Action Administration. The UN just published a report. The ozone layer is self-healing. How many more trucks have to burn to the ground with the DEF system, which releases more particles in the air? Cut down on private jets and planes first. You install a bunch of clowns, and you know how, and you now have the greatest clown show called the, get ready for it, federal government. You know what, dude, if I could reply to your comment, I would say, hooray, perfectly said. Okay, here's another one. And I love reading these comments because these are drivers like you. You know, that's out here and they're seeing this and they're dealing with it, you know, just like Greg is always watching CNN. Heck no, no. A neighbor down here, they have a big screen TV, and when we pull out of a road, you see it. It's always on CNN. It's like, seriously, people? And then they had a Biden signs in their yard. I'm surprised they didn't get, you know, egged. Okay, this is from Chinga, and he's got two comments here. I'm not sure which one started first. Let me see. Okay, I'll read the first one first. Biden administration and scientific integrity, quote unquote, do not go together. Big capital letters. This is the most corrupt, biased, paid off science puppets in history. These buffoons would still be bloodletting and packing wounds with hay as in prior years. There is no real science with this clown show administration. It's all government-funded propaganda to push their electric narrative. These leftists are pure evil and hell-bent on destruction of the USA and any shining light of freedom from the opportunistic total literalism style governance. Sorry, I had to actually kind of work out those words. It's good to see people paying attention to how evil these leftist USA Democrats are with insatiable lust for power and control. You go, boy. Next comment here. This is from John. How about not overpopulation? Certain areas are going after those diesel pickups that are constantly rolling coal because they think it's cool. Perhaps the government agencies shouldn't be flying here and there as well. It all contributes to poor air quality. The difference is trucks are necessary to the way we as a society live our lives. And as a necessity, are easier to strangle with this BS. The EPA needs to look elsewhere. All these emission requirements are actually costing productivity in out engines and too much cash. Hell, we can't even get parts for the emission systems already in place. Wake up and back off, he states. Which is true. You know, right now, it's hard to get parts for anything. And if you do, you're waiting, you know, a couple weeks to get them, and then you're paying out the nose to get that part. So now, with your emission system being down, your truck is dead in the water. So now you're not making any money either. Why doesn't, I mean, you want to say that these people in government know this, but they don't care. I said I wasn't going to get all into the politics because I try not to because, you know, I state what I state and that's it. But this whole here with the EPA and everything, it's actually pulled everybody into it right now. Okay. All right. Next, these, like I said, these are all posted comments from people that read this article. And you can do the same thing. All you have to do is go on to overdrivemagazine.com. You will have to subscribe to it. You'll get emails about it. And you can unsubscribe if you want to. I like getting it because it keeps me up on the trucking news. So that way I can bring the trucking news to you. Okay. So with that being said, this is from JJW245. What a joke. All they want is control. I'm surprised they don't stop people from smoking or doing drugs. It's money they care about and how they can take it from the citizens. Maybe they should try to stop volcanoes from erupting too. Haven't they tried that? And they just haven't figured out how to do that, right? Because that volcanic ash is just as bad as anything that comes out of the tailpipes of diesel trucks, right? Okay. Judd's son states, the EPA is, as they say, useless as udders on a boar hog. China and India are the major polluters of the world. And all the EPA is concerned with is creating the EVBS that the Biden, as in D-U-M-B, administration is pushing. Time to get off the truckers' backside and worry more about the invasion at our southern borders. Keep pushing the truckers, and without thinking for a second, could shut down this country. You know, I was somewhere. Where was I? Oh, my sister and I were up in Boardman yesterday. We were talking to some people at Sam's Club, and there was somebody there that was, you know, an older gentleman and a younger one was standing there talking about not being able to find stuff at stores. And they don't need all of this, but coming there to get it in bulk made it easier for them because of the fact, you know, they couldn't find it at their local Walmart at a cheaper price or at a smaller size. And they, you know, and that's what they said. They said something about along the line as, well, you know what, if the truckers would actually, you know, do their job. And I kind of stopped and I kind of looked at them and I was like, what do you mean by that? Well, they're not delivering. I was like, yeah, I said, the drivers are delivering. And he's just kind of looking at me. And I was like, my husband's a truck driver. I said, my dad's a truck driver. I said, they're doing their job. I said, it comes back to, just as it did back when the whole COVID thing went on, it comes back to the fact that stuff at ports aren't getting out. Or trucks can't go to some of these areas because just like California, if you got an older truck, you're out. You can't go. So then it comes down to the fact that a lot of these big box stores aren't buying a lot of stock because they can't sell it at the prices they want to sell it for now because, again, they're trying to make money off of it because prices have went up on everything. And we've all seen it when we go to the stores. It's not like it's a new thing. It has been coming for months now, but it has gotten worse. You know, stuff that you could have bought. I remember when you could go to the store and buy, you know, a can of green beans for, you know, 59 cents. Now you go to buy a can of green beans, and now I'm not talking about the Libby's or, you know, whatever else there is, the name brand stuff. Even the generic store brand is like $1.20. You get the name brand stuff, you pay for it. Now, there are some things that I won't buy that's not name brand, like my soups. You know what? Give me my Campbell's every day long, all day long. Because if I buy the cheap stuff, it reflects in the taste. So off that subject, but they were saying, you know, well, a lot of this will change if, you know, the truckers go back to work and they stay working. I was like, well, the truckers never stop working. And then another lady pops up and she's like, well, you know what? We could probably get better things done. And if these people really want to see how it is to have a truck, have trucks not work, if they just all go on strike and everybody just closed down all at once, it'd be done. Everybody, all the truckers just stop. And she looked right at this guy and said, where would you be then? And the old man looked at her and said, you know what? You have a point. I was like, that's what's behind it. Everybody wants to blame the trucks. The trucks aren't doing, the drivers aren't doing their job or, you know, this or that. And just like this EPA, they want to blame all the trucks. But I see more pickups out here on the road that blow way more black smoke than our Freightliner that is, you know, turned up to an aspect than what it blows. And it's like, come on, start paying attention. It's not just all the big trucks. There's not that many older trucks. I mean, granted, yes, there is a lot of older trucks out there that are putting out more exhaust, okay, because they don't have all that other junk hanging on the side of it that cause a lot of problems. So, yes, they are starting to see more and more come from that. But when it comes down to it, when you look at the pickups that are running up and down the road, because these young kids thinking, ooh, I got to have me a diesel truck because I want to blow all that black smoke. I was behind one, this has been a few months ago, in town here, and this young kid laid into the pedal when he took off at the red light. The whole intersection was covered in black smoke. And I'm thinking, really? You know, diesel's almost $5 a gallon here in town. And you do that. You can tell your mom and daddy pays for it and you don't pay for it. Okay. off of that. I'm not even reading no more comments on it because there is quite a few and they all come right back to the same thing. Yeah. And once this, I just happen to see this one. It says, they say it would lower deaths, et cetera, et cetera. There is no way they can prove that statement. No way. And it's true. How can they prove that? But hey, whatever makes them feel good at the end of the day, that's what they're going to do. Okay. All right. So let me jump back over the radio here and see what's going on. Oh, we have a caller. Let's bring on Greg here. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
You got it about right.
I don't know how long you were holding.
Huh?
I said, I'm sorry. I don't know how long you were holding. I was on
I was just there a few minutes. For just a couple months there. But yeah, you're right. Kids with these diesel pickups without their clowning around like that, they do nothing with them but ride around.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a reason for them, so to speak. They don't tow trailers. They don't do nothing. They go out and burn up mommy and daddy's money for the most part. Most of them. I'm not saying all of them. But most of it's out there carrying on like that. That don't have a clue what they're doing. If they knew anything about mechanics and the diesel engine, they know that all that black smoke and all that fuel that they're dumping into that thing, all they're doing is washing them cylinders down, and they're cutting that life expectancy of that engine in half.
Exactly.
That it's not going to last. But that's all good because it's theirs. So they bought it. They own it. Let them do what they got to do. All right? I see them on Marketplace all the time. You got engines on there, you know, it blew up. Hey, gasket's bad. Rods hanging outside of them. And that's all what it comes down to. Now, as far as the guy up there at Sam's Club talking about if the truck drivers go back to work, talking about the older trucks out here. Yes, there is. There is a lot of older trucks out here yet for the simple fact you can't afford to buy a new one. And why in the hell would anybody want a new truck when you're going to go and get it? And, you know, shortly after driving it off of the lot, it's going to be sitting on the side of the road waiting on a tow truck to come to tow it into the shop. Then when it gets
exactly.
into the shop, it's going to sit there for 2 or 3 weeks waiting on parts. They don't care. The shop don't care. Well, it's going to be 3 weeks till we can get the part. Well, okay. Well, that's all good and well. You know, they don't care. But what are you supposed to tell the finance company or the loan company when they want their payment in the end of the month? They don't care either. They want their money. They don't care that that truck's broke down. The money's due, the payment's due on it, where's the payment at? So
exactly, you're right.
This BS, how many times have we leased our truck on to somebody, to a company, and them tell me, well, we can't lease it on because it's too old. What do you mean by too old? Well, it's too old, you know, and the older trucks has got a tendency to break down more because they're old and they're getting tired and they break down more. Well, you know what? Back and forth to Chicago 2-3 times a week, I see more trucks sitting on the side of the road with the hoods up or the four ways on waiting on tow trucks or being towed, new trucks. Very seldom do you see an older Pete, older Freightliner, older Kenworth, Western Star, Mack, you name it. Very rarely do you see one of the older trucks, the pre-emission engines, sitting on the side of the road broke down. It's the new ones with the DEF and the EGR systems and the after treatment and everything because it kills me. And Jim and I laugh about it all the time, and Donnie too. And Robbie, we've talked about it. You see one sitting on the side of the road, the first thing they do, just like a new car anymore. People break down, they pull on the side of the road, they open the hood up, and you see them standing there looking down in there scratching their head. And why, I don't know, because they don't have a clue. There's nothing
right.
in there that they can fix. If it shuts down, it shuts off, and the lights come on, there is nothing on there. Unless it's a battery, there is nothing in there that you can fix and get it going. You know, it's just that it ain't going to happen. So I got to laugh about it. But the reason that these companies don't want the older trucks working for them hasn't got anything. It does. It has everything to do with being older. They don't want them because they're older. They can't run that communist state of California
exactly.
because of the laws they got out there, and they want them to be E-Log compliant. They got to be E-Log compatible. You got to be able to put an E-Log in them. So they don't want the paper log. They want e-log trucks so they can control your life. These older guys like me and a few other, a bunch of probably thousands of other ones out here, we're not going to put up with that nonsense. We've done it. We've got it our way. We've done it like this for years. We don't have any problem. And you get the new guys now coming, the new people, I should say, folks coming into the industry now. Well, you older drivers is the reason everything's the way it is now. You're the reason for all the accidents. You know what? We had a whole lot less accidents back then. We, you know, when before all these regulations, we didn't have the accidents we got now. We wasn't riding down the road with our foot on the dash and a phone to our ear or an iPod or a Walkman stuck in our – no, we was sitting there, had the CB on.
Right.
We was there doing our job. Doing our job. Now it wasn't a job, it was a lifestyle. You know,
yeah.
it was a way you made a living. Now to all it is now is a paycheck to these guys. They don't care who they hurt, what they do, who they run over, they don't care. All they care about now is give me my paycheck so I can go home. And they go into this industry thinking they're going to make all this money. Oh boy, do they get fooled! You know, these companies
right.
will blow smoke up. They'll blow smoke up their rear end and tell them, you know, that just exactly what they want to hear. And then they get out of here, and half of them, 6 months into the game, if they make it 6 months, they go home and get out of the truck. And say, hell no, this ain't for me. I ain't doing that. I'm not going to stay out there like that for months, you know, weeks on end. No, they can't party. They can't live the high life. They don't want to do it. This ain't for everybody. This job never was for any for just anybody. I mean, it's you got to be. I know I'm not hardly sound mind sometimes, but you got to be a pretty sound mind to go out here and do this job. Because
right.
anybody that's not. It would literally, you know, it gets under your skin. So that's that nonsense about, you know, if the truck drivers would just get out and do their job. I would love to have been there because I'd love to have told that guy, look, give me your address. And I tell you what, you just put your boots on and go with me for a week. You know, we're going to be gone just for a week. You just go with me for a week. I got two beds in the truck. You just come with me and ride with me for a week. When I'm awake, you're going to be awake. When I lay down to sleep, you're going to be asleep. Let's see what you think of the truck driver by the end of the week. And that's just
yeah.
1 week. Go out here and do it 30-some years, 40 years, like some of us have. Then tell me what you think of truck drivers. All right. I'm off my soapbox now, but that just, you know, and the kids with the diesel pickups, I mean, you see them all the time. They don't have a hitch in the bed for a gooseneck or nothing. It's not like they're
right.
working it. You know, to make money, they're out there hot rodding them. Is all they're doing. They wanted that. Yeah, like you said, they want to roll coal, blow smoke. Yeah, all they're doing is burning money and just tearing it up for what? Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah, some of these new diesel pickups now, you're looking at $70,000-$80,000 plus, depending on the options and everything. $70,000 to $80,000 plus for a new pickup. So you can go out and just tear it up. I don't get it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is what it is. You know, it's life goes on. But the government, that's where it all starts. But every one of them comments you read, I was just sitting there shaking my head. Yep. They're right. Every one of them. Not one of them comments was wrong. Nobody that commented was wrong. Every one of them, there was nothing that I disagreed with any of them that any of them said. You know, how many trucks is going to have to burn up out here before they get rid of that after treatment?
Right.
What fool in their right mind would put a wood burner beside a gasoline can? And that's basically what they're doing. If you look at these trucks, on the right side of these trucks, most all of them, have got that diesel, that particular filter, and that you know, and all that garbage is underneath the passenger door. Right behind that passenger door, right behind that, just within inches off of that, is a fuel tank. Now, why in the world would you put that much fuel, hot fuel, after it's run for a while? Hot fuel will ignite like gasoline. It won't when it's cold, but when you get diesel fuel hot, it is combustible. Why would you put that, you know, beside a fire pit? And that's basically all it is. I mean, it just, it makes no sense to me, but that's, again, you know, it's people making money. People are getting paid big money. The people that designed all this crap are getting big money for it, and it's all government-funded crap. So, there you go. Now, I'll let you get back to reading, and I'll listen. Be quiet for a minute.
I'm not saying you had to. But, yeah, the comments, I mean, I didn't even read all of them. Because they were, it was just the same thing over and over and over again, you know. I just pulled back up to the article again, and it's another one says the EPA wants tighter emission standards, yet we can't even get a replacement one box for Freightliner trucks to keep them running now.
Yeah. Well, look at your dad. What a time he had just get the rebuild kit.
Yeah.
What did it take him? Over a month, almost 2 months to get all the parts in? Seriously? Now, just like that, now if that was a newer truck and something bad happened and it went bad, it needed one right off the bat, which they do, brand new truck will blow up a month after they're with it. Well, it's dealer, you know. It's under warranty. Well, warranty, that's fine if it's under warranty. But if they can't get the parts to warranty, to fix it, then you're right back to square one.
No. But yeah, it's just crazy.
I'll keep my raggedy old smoke blowing dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
And they want to talk about fuel, the fuel mileage, you know, their fuel mileage standards. This truck right here is getting better fuel mileage than what a brand new one is. These new ones is only getting 5 to 6 miles a gallon. So how do they figure they're saving fuel? Don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Here's some more with regulations. I'm kind of scrolling over it, but... All right. Okay. Traffic fatalities mostly unchanged year over year through September 2022, which is what NASDAQ estimates. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates the traffic fatalities through the first 9 months of 2022 were nearly identical to the same period in 2021. The statistical projection of traffic fatalities for the first 9 months of 2022 shows that the estimated 31,785 people died in motor vehicle traffic crashes. This represents a marginal decrease of about 0.2%. as compared to 31,850 fatalities projected to have occurred the first 9 months of 2021. The estimated slight dip in fatalities comes as the Federal Highway Administration preliminary reported that vehicle miles traveled in the first 9 months of 2022 increased by about 39 billion miles. With the rise in miles traveled, the fatality rate for the first 9 months of 2022 decreased to 1.3 fatalities per 100 million miles, down from the projected rate of 1.32 fatalities per 100 million miles in the first 9 months of 2021. NASDA also reported that through the first 6 months of 2022, estimated traffic fatalities and crashes involving at least one large truck with a GRVW of more than 10,000 pounds were up 10% from 2021. NASA notes that the actual counts of 2021 and 2022 and the ensuing percentage changes from 2021 to 2022 will be further revised as the fatality analysis reporting system annual report files for 2021 are available, as well as when the FARS, the Fatality Analysis Reporting System, final file for 2021 and annual report file for 2022 are available next year. These estimates may be further refined when the projections for the whole of 2022 are released in late April. I don't understand how they can determine that in just 9 months.
They can't.
Why would they try doing it in just 9 months?
Because it's like everything else that the government does or anything. All they're doing is telling you what they want you to hear. I don't know, you know, they got all these, you know, it goes back to insurance companies and attorneys. You know, we've said it for years, and anybody that's had a lick of sense knows that the insurance companies and the attorneys in this country, you know, control everything. Just like, you know, with the e-bugs was going to stop a lot of these accidents, they're going to stop all the drugs, all the alcohol, all the fatalities. They're trying to get it down to zero fatalities. You're never going to get zero fatalities out here.
Okay. Now, with that being said, when you brought up the e-log, I'm just reading over the only comment on this article. I'll read it to you real quick since you brought up the e-log thing. It says, y'all haven't seen any fatalities and people getting hurt yet. That e-log is causing the most of it because drivers are not able to pull over and take a rest break if they get tired or there is construction, even at an accident. The e-log clock is just like the Energizer Bunny. Keep on ticking. They're in a rush the whole 14 hours, especially when the shipper is in receiving keeps these drivers hostage for hours and hours past their clock and then tell the drivers, get off the lot. It's all BS.
Yep.
The big corporations I read and listen to, their drivers are complaining over the same dang thing. These new drivers are finally starting to wise up and see that see what we've been talking about. I mean, drivers, we can be in a 70 to 75 mile per hour zone running the speed limit in the right two lanes, and four-wheelers are still tailgating, cutting in front of large vehicles, throwing stuff out the window because they can't pass. Even if we are in the right lane, the four-wheelers will even shoot at you. Don't forget about the four-wheelers' greatest drive act, passing on the left and right shoulder all the time. Y'all be safe, drivers, and keep your comments coming. God bless everyone, every one of you, the mailman. And he's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, with that being said, your cops, you know, the cops, you're supposed to lead by example. And law enforcement out here in cars are just as bad, if not worse, than the cars out here. Because I have had cops pass me on the left, dive over in front of me, and then cross the other end, cross two or three lanes and jump off an exit. Or get in front of you and see a car or somebody speeding, dive in front of you and slam the brakes on, throw the lights on to stop the car or truck in front of you. Now, how safe is that? You know, you've got rest areas, you've got scale houses, and that's not good enough for them. They want to stop a truck on the side of the highway to do a DOT check on them, and then when the truck can't move over, can't do whatever, and they get hit, then the first thing they want to do is bring the driver up on charges and hit them. That's not a safe location. If you want to DOT that truck, escort him up to a get-off ramp, to a wide spot, somewhere safe in a parking lot, a scale house, a rest area, somewhere safe to inspect that truck. That truck was running just fine up to the point you stopped him. So if you feel the need to have to inspect that truck that bad, escort him up to a safe location and do it.
Yeah, just look like at Donnie when he got DOT'd the other day. He was alongside the interstate. And they put cones out. Do you really think they were gonna people were gonna pay attention to the cones? And you and I both know Donnie probably did his darndest to get as far off the road as he possibly could. Safely,
yeah, did picked on it because a piece of a reflective tape and a headlight that he tapped on come back on because it had a bad plug.
Yeah.
Really?
It's crazy what the things that they want to pick at.
Yeah, it's just nitpicking. That's exactly what it is, nitpicking.
You get cars out here that's driving around, headlights aren't working, they have no brake lights or no turn signals. The heck, half the time they don't even have a windshield or not a windshield, but a back glass or back windshield in their car because of the fact, you know,
see,
right, for some other reason.
I see one the other day with the driver's side window, the driver's side window right here in the driver's side door had a piece of black plastic taped up over it with duct tape or something because the window was broke out. Now, how can they see out of that window with black plastic taped up over it?
Exactly. But I guess
if
they have to care,
if we do something like
you know.
That, they would red tag us, put us out of service.
Oh, yeah. In a heartbeat.
We get a little rock chip in the windshield, and they want to put you out of service if they see it. Or write you up, and you get points for it because of a rock chip. Unbelievable. You know, they don't need to make new laws. They need to start enforcing the laws that's on the books. I remember years and years ago, they would stop cars out here on the road, same as they did trucks. If they seen a car that didn't look safe for the road, they would stop them and inspect it and check the tires and look that car over. And if the lights wasn't working or the head didn't have lights or the tire was, you had bald tires, they would impound it. Now they would take the car. Or write you a ticket and give you so long to fix it, or else they would come and take your plates. PA was like that for the longest time. That's why they got vehicle inspections up there, which don't mean anything anyhow, because it's like everything else. They got guys up there who just puts a sticker on them no matter what they look like.
Yep.
But it used to be, man, if you had anything wrong, you didn't get it. And if you didn't have Pennsylvania, when you went and got your car inspected, if it didn't pass inspection, they gave you so long to get it fixed. And then if you didn't have it inspected and you got caught with it, they impounded right there. They towed the car and took your license plate. And you didn't get license plates on it until you got the car fixed and got it back inspected, got re-inspected.
Right.
They confiscated the license plate. I don't get it. You know, it's like, the only ones that safety matters out here is here. And how many times have I said, and we've all talked about it, Ed, Robbie, Donnie, how come, so I got brought their attention, how come safety stopped when the weather's bad? When it's sunny, it's 70 degrees, and the sun's shining, nice, dry, beautiful day, DOT and inspectors is all over the place. Man, they're checking trucks everywhere. But let it get down to 10 degrees or zero, snowing, blowing, cold, you know, raining. You don't see them. No. They just roll you through the scales, send you on your way. They don't want to bother with you. So as the sun comes out, they're right on you. So safety stops when the weather's bad. And then another thing irritates us is 72 hours when they do these 72-hour blitzes. These brake blitzes and they're going to do a 72. No, bullshit. Yeah, I'll say it. It's nonsense. They get paid to come out here and do a job every day just like we do. So when they come out there and say, well, we're working 72 hours. No, they're doing on 1 week, they're trying to do what they should be doing every day. Every day they're getting paid to come out here and inspect trucks, so many trucks, whatever a day. But they don't do nothing, you know, for months on end. And then in June or August, whenever they decide they want to run them 72-hour deals, then they want to come out here and act a damn fool for 72 hours and then brag about all the trucks they put out, sir. If you would have done that, you should be doing that every day. Every day.
Would you get, when they get that car in the morning and they go out here to go to work as a motor carrier enforcement, they should start in the morning, and until their shift is up, they should stop truck after truck. I know guys ain't going to hear that. They don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it either because, you know, I could be one of them. But, hey, keep your equipment up. If there's something wrong with it, fix it. If there's something wrong with mine and I don't know about it, I miss it, hey, if they find something, hey, let me know. I'll fix it. If I miss something, I want to know about it. But they should be doing that, you know, so many trucks a day on their shift, and they should do it. Don't sit there in the middle in the air conditioner or in the heater and watch trucks run down, up and down the road, see them all the time. Sitting in the media strip, motor carrier force, they're sitting there watching, up there on 11. You'll see them sitting there and they'll watch truck after truck after truck go by. And then all of a sudden, maybe one day they're picking on flatbeds. That's all they grab is a flatbed. Next time, it might be a dump truck. You know, a dump trailer, a dump truck. Then they pick on dump trucks. The next day, it might be tankers. You know, no, that's nonsense. Quit brand prejudice. Go out and do your job.
It's crazy how they do, just like you said, just pick on certain vehicles or trucks or petty little things. And then I read this, which is kind of crazy, kind of comes back to the schools back in the day that was, you know, pumping out the CDL drivers and end up turning out that they were not technically certified. But Overdrive. Delaware DMV launches online self-certification for CDL holders. The Delaware Division of Motor Vehicles announced a new online self-certification option for CDL holders, allowing them to submit their medical examiner certificate online through Delaware's MyDMV website. The Federal Carrier Safety Administration has established medical certification guidelines that apply to all commercial learner permit and CDL holders and applicants, and all CLP and CDL holders must self-certify their driving status. Based on the CDL holder's self-certification status, a driver may be required to submit and maintain a copy of the medical certificate with the DMV. Adding the ability to self-certify to MyDMV is a game changer for our CDL drivers, especially for drivers unable to visit our locations during normal operating hours, said Delaware Security of Transportation Nicole Majesty. Now they can submit their certification online from wherever they are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Currently, there are 31,849 CDL holders in the state of Delaware, the DMV said. We expect this to be one of our most popular features on MyDMV, said Delaware DMV Director Jana Simpler. It saves our CDL drivers time. It's convenient, it's easy, and it gives our drivers peace of mind knowing their certificate was updated and received by the DMV. That would be nice because it would save a lot of time than going to the DMV and stuff like that. But with that, you're certifying yourself on there. Are you scanning your certificate or your long form into them and adding it to it? Or are you just saying, clicking, yes, I got my certificate or my, you know. It's not explaining it enough. And I don't feel it's a good idea, only for the fact because a lot of these places, you can go out there and you get your certificate. Yes, you could do it even if you take it into the DMV. But a lot of them can take their old ones and go and just change the dates and never go get recertified. Because if they're just sending it in online themselves and recertifying themselves online like that, nobody is looking at it.
I got a better idea. The doctor that certifies you should have a phone number for the state you're licensed in, just like ours.
And automatically
when
send
you
it.
Pass your DOT, they should be able to email it or fax it or however they want to do it straight to the DMV, get a confirmation sheet off of it. It should be automatically attached right from a doctor's office. That way it cuts out the middleman. It cuts us out. That way, if they come back on us to say, look, you ain't got no medical certification, then you go to the doctor because the doctor didn't do their job. It takes the monkey off our back. Whatever happened to when that first come out, you know, that was supposed to be attached to your license to where you didn't have to carry your long form physical. You didn't have to carry a card anymore. All you had to do, because it was supposed to be attached to your driver's license. When they run your driver's license, your medical card and everything come right up on the computer that you had it. There it was. No, they never did get that straight. They still want you to carry your long form physical with you. How many years has that been?
Yeah. Yeah, because they
just
said
like
you
when
never
they caught me up there on 11.
Right. Crazy.
It's nonsense. So I said, quit making new rules, new laws, and more rules, and enforce the ones that's already on the books. They can't keep up with the rules and the laws that they got, and they continue wanting to make new ones, new and improved. Well, your new and improved ain't worth a damn.
Yeah, ain't that true. Okay, they're going to extend more weather-related hours of service exemptions issued.
Yeah, here we go. More exemptions. Should be no exemptions for nothing. All the years out here, I've never run under an exemption. I know what times I've got to do it. That's, I got so many hours in a day, and that's what I got to get my job done.
Right.
I don't cry about the snow. I don't cry about the rain. I don't cry about the wind. Just go do it.
Okay, this is weather prompts hours of service waivers in three more states. Two states out west, one in the Midwest, are exempting certain truck drivers from hours of service regulations due to ongoing weather events. All right, California Governor Gavin Newsom on January 4th issued an emergency declaration due to heavy rainfall, flooding, strong winds, and more in the state. According to the declaration, storms have forced the closure and caused damage to highways and roads and continue to threaten the critical infrastructure.
Poor baby.
As a result, Newsom is allowing drivers transporting fuel in support of relief operations to exceed the hours of service limits. Drivers are still required to maintain a record or duty status, regardless of the number of hours worked each day. The log shall then be prepared, submitted, and maintained as required by the California Code of Regulations. Additionally, in neighboring Nevada, Governor Joe Lombardo has declared an emergency due to storms impacting the supply of propane. A series of storms and unsettling weather conditions have compounded existing propane supply chains and are anticipated to continue impacting parts of the state of Nevada in the coming weeks, the order reads. Lombardo's declaration waives Part 395.3 of the Federal Hours of Service Regulations for propane delivery drivers for 15 days as of January 6th. And finally, in Iowa, Governor Kim Reynolds has issued a new emergency declaration to ensure timely access for Iowa residents to suppliers of motor and heating fuels. The declaration suspends hours of service provisions for drivers delivering propane, diesel number one, diesel number two, natural gas, and any other fuels used for residential, agricultural, or commercial heating purposes. The declaration is effective through February 5th unless it is terminated sooner. So again, it all has to do with all the heating and fuel.
Okay. Now, just like we had this conversation the other night with Ed on the radio, me and Robbie, whatever. That's all good, these exemptions. They can put all the exemptions out there that they want. And these governors can tell you, yeah, you can drive over your hours, whatever. Just you keep a duty status. You keep a record of it, yes. But you can drive, just keep driving, keep hauling, just keep going. Going and going and going. Don't matter how tired you are. If you get too tired, lay down and rest. Well, you know, yeah, right. Okay. Now, it's all good and well, right to the point where you have a major accident, you kill somebody, or you run somebody over this truck, or you do, a lot of property damage or something, and something bad happens. And as soon as that happens, that attorney, when them attorneys get on it, if you kill somebody, their attorney, that's the first thing they're going to do is come out and say, well, yeah, he was over on it. Well, he had an exemption. It doesn't matter. That exemption don't matter. He took a life. That truck killed this person. It was negligence. Negligence on the government's part as well as the driver, but it's going to come down on the driver. You're going to go to prison. The government is going to, well, you know, we told them they could do it, but we didn't tell them to drive. If they was tired, they should have stopped. That's
right.
Where they're going to get you. All right?
Oh, yeah.
But the company's going to tell you, no, you got an exemption. You go. And you tell them you're tired. Well, look, you got to go. You got the exemption. You don't have to. So go. They've got to have this stuff. You got to go. And the driver is going to do it, because if they don't, they're going to threaten to terminate them, fire them, do whatever you want to call it, whatever you will. But that's what's going to happen. So the driver's going to keep on running because he's afraid of, quote, losing his job. So then when something bad happens, come to go say, well, I didn't tell him that. Ed was talking about it like on the Qualcomm the other night when he was with Swift. He said when he was over there working in office, he said they sent him messages how many times? Just run through the night, get this load where it's going. Ed said, no, I don't feel safe doing it. Call me, they'd say. He'd say, no, I ain't calling you. Put it on the Qualcomm. Tell me what you want to do, because then there was a trail on it. Everything,
right.
Just like when I worked for, we know who. Everything
yeah.
was text messaging, or everything was email. Everything, you had a paper trail on it. There's some things can't get deleted, unless you're Hillary Clinton. But other than that, you can't get deleted. So they go back and they look at that and say, wait a minute, no. Here's what they told me. Well, that's not what they told me. Well, that's right, here's what they told me. That's why it happened the way it did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where this is going on there, just like them emails. If the guy's sick or don't feel good, he needs to stop because he don't feel good. No, you got hours to run. You keep the truck moving. You got to get that load down there. Well, they keep going, because if they don't, they say, hey, he had time to run and he wouldn't run. And that's why we let him go. So,
that exemption,
no, I don't agree with any of them exemptions. Should be no exemptions whatsoever. If it's safe to do it in an emergency, it's safe to do it all year long for everybody, not just a few, everybody. Because if it's safe to run over your hours and run when you're tired and run and run and run and run when they need you, if it benefits the government or the states or these cities and counties, if it benefits them, it's okay. But if it benefits you to go out so you can make money or you can drive, any other time 15 minutes over your 14 and they're wanting to rate you up and give you points and try to take your license and your livelihood.
Yeah.
So, you can't drive 15 minutes over your log on a normal day, but on an exemption like that, you can drive for hours and hours over it. They don't say nothing. That's okay. I don't agree with it. No, I'm sorry. Most of these companies
right.
is big enough. They can put it, if they got a driver and that load's got to be somewhere, hey, relay it. They did that clear back in the set, relay it. Just like the freight companies did for years. They'd run it halfway across. They'd drop the damn trailer, another one to back underneath of it over there, and they'd take off the other way, and that one grab his and bring it back the other way when his time was up.
Yep.
It worked out just fine. We've had that discussion with Ed, just like on the cattle haulers. Well, we can't. We got to have an exemption because we can't stop. When we put them cattle in the trailer, they've got to go. We can't stop and go to bed for, 10 hours or whatever, because if cows can't be in the trailer, or animals can't be in that trailer for 10 hours. No, you can't. They can't. But the reapers has been running teams in them for years and years and years. So you put two people in the truck. When your time's up, another guy jumps in the seat, water them, feed them, whatever, put them back in on the road and get going again until they get where they're going. No, they want to cut one driver out of the equation so they can haul the loads cheaper and still be able to pay the driver. Well, get paid for what you're doing and be able to pay two drivers. There's no reason for that. No reason for anybody having an exemption. the ATA and them the ones that come up with this nonsense. They wanted these, you know, these hours of service. That was a good thing, you know. And yeah, and once they got here, then the ATA and these big freight companies and stuff was the first ones that sent in, that put in for an exemption because we can't operate under the rules of hours of service because it's cutting into our profit on the, into our bottom line because our trucks can't get the work done in that time, the time that you give us. So we can't work under that. We need an exemption. Oh, okay. They just hand them out like candy. Why? If they get an exemption, they give it to everybody. It's stupidity. I'm muting it.
You're muting it. Okay. All right. Well, I just found, you know, and this is something that kind of reflects on you because you buy fuel here a lot. Okay. Mid-Atlantic convenience store chain discounting diesel this month. Sheets, a Mid-Atlantic restaurant and convenience chain announced Tuesday it will start the new year by decreasing diesel fuel prices by 50 cents a gallon at each of its 665-plus locations that offer this grade. The company estimates the reduction will result in a savings of $60 per tractor trailers, assuming drivers are filling from empty to full. The offer officially starts January 10th and ends on January 31st. The price will be decreased from the original diesel price listed at each of the company's locations. The offer will include both auto diesel fuel and truck diesel fuel options. Last September, Sheets celebrated Truck Driver Appreciation Week by reducing fuel prices to $4.49 a gallon for the entire month. That is when the price were hovering right around $5 a gallon. Sheets further showed its appreciation by offering truck drivers free meals in September. During the offer, the price displayed at the pump is the final purchase price and reflects the price rollback. Hold on, I got to pick a dog up. Okay. Max was on his pillow and slid off on the floor and head was in the air and his head was on the floor, or his butt was in the air and his head was on the floor. Okay, so the rest of the month of January, you're going to be getting fuel prices at Sheets 50 cents less than what you're going to find anywhere else. And you're not going to see this from any other truck stop. They're not going to do that or any other fueling location. I don't even want to say truck stop. Okay. JX, this is something else that, you know, it may affect some. It may not. I don't know. If you are in the area, it's a dealership. It's a JX Truck Center reopens renovated Michigan dealership. Okay, the JX Truck Center opened its renovated dealership off of I-75 in Gaylord, Michigan this week. The 11,265 square foot truck center located at 1160 Milbacher Road will offer parts, maintenance, and repairs, truck rental and leasing, and pre-owned vehicle sales. It features a large parts and merchandise showroom and 9 service bays with translucent style overhead doors for natural lighting. The JX Truck Center has 28 locations in the upper Midwest. It is headquartered in Heartland, Wisconsin. So if you need stuff done to your truck and you're in Michigan, there you go. Go to Gaylord's. It doesn't say, I don't know what kind of trucks they deal with or anything like that. That's just what it says. Okay, here is a couple drivers that I want to put a shout out to, only for the fact that, you know, they were named Highway Angels. And the reason for that is because they helped a man that was trapped under a tractor. Truck drivers Randy Sweet and Mark Carey, both out of the, I know I'm going to butcher this name of this town, Olean, Iowa. We're just going to say they're out of the state of Iowa, have been named Highway Angels by the Truckload Carriers Association for helping a critically injured man who had a tractor fall on him. Sweet and Carey drive for Advanced Drainage Systems out of Hillard, Ohio. Sweet and Carey were at a job site in Bella, Iowa, and found a man who had been pinned under a tractor for 4 hours. He had a he had the full weight of the tractor fall on him, said Kerry. He was in shock and he was chilled. The man's wife had just run off to find help, but Sweet and Kerry called 911 and stayed with the man until emergency personnel arrived. Kerry has medical training and relayed the injured man's vitals to the emergency personnel. Though the injured man wanted to be moved, Kerry urged him to stay still, since he may have had a broken hip and could cause more extensive physical internal damage. His leg was pretty bad, said Sweet. It was all tore up and he was in a lot of pain. We were trying to keep him comfortable. The man was conscious and had a lot of open wounds, Sweet said. While Sweet calmed the injured man, Kerry ran to the entrance of the job site to flag down the ambulance once it arrived. Sweet said he did what he could during that time to keep him calm and comfortable. As it turned out, the man suffered a broken hip and spent a week in the hospital recuperating. And it's nice to see things like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it goes on to say, Sweet says, he says, you can't walk away from something like that. And you can't. How could you physically stand there and say, you know, I'm sorry, I don't, that's not my job description. I'll stand here and just wait for somebody to come and help you. You're going to jump into action. Just like you and I when that pickup with that camper down in Alabama. You know,
yep.
We watched it drive and just totally lose control, and we're trying to catch their stinking dog that was running up the interstate. But still, you can't just stand by. I don't care who you are, if you're in a car or if you're in a big truck, you can't just stand by and do nothing.
No.
Whether it's just to, you know, direct traffic and try stopping people, or it is to help the injured person. You know, you do what you can with what you have, and you always try to be prepared for something if something does happen. You know, there's those times that you just never know when that person, that might be the, you know, you might be the last person that person ever talks to or sees. So you would be the one to be able to give their family a little closure if they did not make it through the accident. And that's what I think about every time that, you know, see something like that. Just like when my great-grandfather, just literally up the road up here where there's on Ansley and that truck pulled out in front of you when we were on the bike that time, just past there's a big culvert right there just before that that dump truck where the dump truck parks. There's a big culvert right there, and he was coming from Westfield Road, and he was going to Wellswood to get his hair cut. And he was going to cut down across Ansley and down to Coonsonette. We don't know to this day whatever happened. We're thinking he may have had a heart attack or something or a stroke, but he drove his pickup off and into that big old culvert. And luckily, the man that lived in that house seen it happen, and he went out there with him. Now, of course, as we know, my grandfather didn't make it, but at least there was somebody there with him in his final moments when he passed. You know, because he never made it to the hospital. He, you know, passed in the truck. But at least, and that's all I can ever think of, you know, it was devastating, mind you. But we knew that there was somebody with him, and that was kind of like, you know, a little bit of a relief because you knew he wasn't there by himself, you know. And that's the only thing I ever think of if anything would happen is, you know, especially like with you and Dad out on the road or anybody that we know that drives truck, you know. If it's one of those things and you go to sleep and you don't wake up, okay. But if you're in an accident and, you know, it gives the family, I guess, a little comfort knowing you weren't technically alone. We may never talk to the people that was there, but, you know.
Well, that's what we were talking about the other night, Ed and Robbie and I. Said, you know, when you get in the truck, I said, guys, don't think about it. You know, nobody gives it a second thought, but, you know, when you walk out of the house and you go out to get in the truck to go to work, you don't know. That might be the last time that you see your family, your loved ones, or whatever. You never know.
Yeah.
You may never come home. You don't know.
And you see a lot of that, you know, drivers that – how many times have we seen on Facebook or, you know, just like – we were somewhere.
Yep,
and there was
they're flagging traffic here at Cheech tonight. Everybody's in here getting some of this cheap fuel tonight.
There you go.
And I'm I'm one of them.
Don't blame you. But just like, you know, there was times when we were out together in the truck and we'd be laying over a weekend, and then we'd pull in and there's a truck that's already there, and, you know, you never know if the truck is just parked there for the weekend or the person parked there and, you know, something happened and they've passed in the truck. And we've seen that where people have messaged on Facebook, have you seen, you know, have you seen this man? Have you seen this truck? His last location was here. You know, nobody's heard anything from him. We can't get any, you know, there's been no data on his comm card, you know, all that stuff. And you never know. That driver could have pulled over at a rest area and ended up, you know, passing away right there. And like I've said 100 times before, and we have it, Robbie has it, Donnie has it, you know, a few other people we know that have it, is the Life 360, that tracking app. Yes, you know, just like my sister, she's like, I think it's crazy that you track it. I'm sorry. I would rather like to know if something does happen, and I know you say, I'm going to get up at this time, and I'm going to take off from here, and this is where I'm going to be, and this and that, and I find out you're not there, and you haven't moved, and, you know, your truck or you are still sitting in the same spot for, you know, 10 hours, which I know that is not you. It's like, something's going on. Something's wrong. I want to be able to pick up the phone, call the local police department in that area and say, here's the coordinates and here's the, you know, where he's at. Because the further you go into that app, you can actually pinpoint and you can send what they consider a pin of your location. You know, so it kind of helps to know that you can do those things now. And back in the day, how many drivers, you know, in snowstorms, because way before cell phones came out, all you did have was a CBs. And how many times before that things happen and drivers perish in, you know, truck accidents, and it could be months before, or not months, you know, many hours before anybody ever realizes it because they had no way of knowing. Or, you know.
Well, that's a bad thing with these guys pulling off on ramps.
Yeah.
I know, I understand that, you know, sometimes I've done it. I don't like doing it, but, you know, parking on a ramp, you get a couple hours of sleep or whatever because you can't get the truck stopped because half of the truck stops, people can't, these guys can't drive. They can't park right, you know. They're parking, you know, two spots, park, whatever. But, you know, these guys pull off on a ramp and they lay down and go to sleep. And the cops anymore, they are so used to seeing them there, they don't pay attention. They think, oh, they're just laying there sleeping. And that truck might sit there for 2 days, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the company, they don't care. I mean, even when the Qualcomms were there, most of the companies, I mean, there was a few out there that would stay on top of it. But unless they needed to talk to that driver, they didn't worry about it.
Yep.
So that guy might lay there. If he pull off on that ramp and lay down and go to sleep and have a heart attack in there, and 2 days later they find he did, you know. And,
yep.
And it's happened. I've seen it happen, you know. Truck stop, same way. They'll back into the truck stop, you know, and they'll lay down and go to sleep, and, you know, start truck sitting there running for air condition or heat, whatever it may be, the weather, and, you know, and all of a sudden then, you know, the truck runs out of fuel, it shuts off, nobody pays, but then the company's, his family starts looking for him, and they go out, you know, damn truck shut off. You know,
uh-huh.
If it's 90 degrees and there's his truck and it's shut off, you know there's something wrong.
Well, yeah.
You know, so
like,
then when they start checking and find out that he's, you know, deceased in there, you know, so now it's crazy.
And there was one here.
I mean,
it's been a few years ago where they found a driver in the truck, and it was only because another driver was parked beside him and seeing something leaking from the truck. And then there was an odor coming, and here it was somebody that had passed away in the truck, had been in there for so many days, you know, that he was already decomposing and, you know, but again, it was heat related too.
Right.
You know, and it's just things like that. It's nice to be able to, you know, if you're in an area that you've never been in before, you know, at least let people know where you're at. So, it's just, I don't know. It's definitely,
it's a bad thing to have to talk about, but if it wakes people up, gets them to pay attention, more attention to their surroundings,
mm-hmm.
they'd be a whole lot better off.
Yeah. I don't know.
$3.95 a gallon. Wow.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, I had stopped down there at 204, and I stopped down there and put about 20-some gallon in because I was getting a little nervous.
Yeah.
I could have probably made it up here, but I figured better put 20 or 30 gallon in here and make it up here as was to run out. That 30 gallon would have cost me the sure. price of a full tank.
Yeah. This is true.
So I did that. We'll fill it up here, and I'm going over to Girard and go to bed. Unload this morning, come home. I'm still ain't feeling good. So
at least now you sound a little bit better than what you did earlier.
Yeah, don't feel much better.
Huh.
But anyhow, nobody else has called in, huh?
Nope, it's just been you.
Huh. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It doesn't
surprise
me.
Tonight would have been a good show for a bunch of people to call in on, too.
Yep.
Be good topics.
Oh, I try.
Should be stuff like that every night.
And
instead
if you
of motorcycles
remember,
and football, that's what it should be, truck-related.
Every Wednesday, that's what I do.
Yep.
You get on me about reading it, but, you know. If I try to put it in my own words, half the time it won't make sense.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the boys lost the game today. Cole made a basket. Okay. Chase was in play in the first quarter, or the first, you know, whatever they consider it. And then Cole came in. Chase was playing first, and then Cole came in. And then Cole fouled somebody right off the bat. Then the coach pulled him out already. They didn't play they call him fouling Forbes for a reason.
Who, Chase or Cole?
Cole. They call Cole. The coach started calling him fouling Forbes. Because he's pretty good at fouling people. So he was in there for, you know, like, I swear it was like 4 seconds it felt like. But that coach, I mean, he's miserable. The kids came out down there because when Nick and I got there, because I had sent Nick a message and said, I'm on my way. Have you gotten there yet or have you went in? Because I have no clue where I'd go because I've never been there. Well, she hadn't either. And she's like, I just pulled in. And I was like, okay, be there in a second. And because I talked to her just before you called. And because I had just passed 7:30, and when I sent her the voice message, I was like, hey, I said, I'm just passing 7:30, so I should be there in just a couple minutes. And then you called. And I pulled in and ended up parking just down from her, and we walked in. And Beaver Local was there already warming up and, you know, practicing on the court. And I guess Annette said that, you know, the other ones, Southern, was out there for a while. Well, it was funny because they came out there and they were like dragging and walking real slow, not pumped up, not excited, no nothing. It was just like, yeah, okay, we're here, and just, you know, like a bunch of old lumps on a log.
Yeah.
I told Nick, I says, they always come out like this? She's like, well, usually they're a little bit more peppier. And I was like, that's just weird. So, of course, you know, I yell at Cole, and Cole kind of looks at me like, oh, shit. And Nick's like, I would not do that when Chase comes out. I was like, oh, I will do it when Chase comes out. Ain't going to stop me. So when Chase walked out, when he was coming out, I yelled. He looked at me, and you know that look that Chase gives when he's really pissed off?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the look I got.
He'll get over it.
I know. So Chase played more than Cole did. And Chase actually made a shot from the sidelines, like. And I was, like, super excited. I started yelling, and he just running down the court shaking his head. And then Cole, he was playing, and a couple guys on the Beaver local side that was sitting on the bench, they weren't dressed to play. They were just, you know, must have been sophomores or juniors or something like that, you know, sitting there.
Yeah.
Probably, so they were probably JV. But anyways, they said something, and it was directed towards Cole, and the ref heard it,
yeah,
and threw them out of the game, the gym.
Really?
And then gave Cole 3 free throw shots.
Huh.
Yeah. And that's
was
what
everybody's
like.
Players or just sitting there?
They were just sitting there. They were probably from the JV team and not the freshman team that was sitting there supporting,
yeah,
you know, Beavers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were over there, you know, there was some sitting down from us, sitting on the bleachers there, stomping their feet, clapping their hands every time Southern went to shoot to kind of throw them,
yeah,
off their game, I guess. And then there was some sitting over on with the Beaver local players on in the chairs. And that's when this all went on, because I heard them over. You could hear some of them yelling, this basically just the one, yelling stuff a little bit. And but you never really knew what he was saying because you couldn't make it out, but he was, you know, verbally saying something. Well, the one,
yeah,
ref caught him and threw him out. And then the coach for Beaver Local sent the rest of them that were all sitting there, kicked them out too.
Yeah.
So kind of eager to find out what they said to Cole.
Yeah.
And the one girl, because all of Cole's basketball buddies, they all call him Jelly. Don't know why. Even we were doing the pictures for the, you know, his dance, they did the same thing. They were calling him Jelly, you know, come get pictures with us, blah, blah, blah. And one of the mothers of one of the teammates was sitting right beside us up there, and she was videoing it for, you know, Southern Local Live.
Yeah.
And she was calling when Cole was running up the field, go Jelly, get it, get it. And I kind of looked over at her, and I was like, you know, I said, you know how demeaning that is to that poor boy? And she just looked at me. Now, she watched me walking with Nicole, so she knew I was with her. And Nick just kind of,
yeah,
elbowed me. She's like, seriously? And I was like, I think it's, I says, no. I said, that's very demeaning to Cole.
Nicole should be doing that.
Nick says, well, Cole said it doesn't bother him. I was like, I don't care if it bothers him or not. I said, it bothers me hearing somebody call my nephew Jelly. And the,
yeah,
lady's like, she's like, I'm sorry. She's like, I didn't mean, I said, I understand. I said, I know Cole doesn't care. I said, but you know what? I said, he's one of those, and, you know, Nick said the same thing. He's one of those kids, he'll just let it go off and he's not going to start. I was like, one of these days he's going to snap and it's not going to be good. And it's going to be because people calling stuff like that.
That's exactly why kids do that shit. They go, mm-hmm, on these damn shootings.
I said, Cole is, I said, granted, yes, Cole is, you know, a good-hearted, lighthearted kid. He's not, you know, not into the big old fighting stuff. I said, but just like that, that's what causes things like that. And
Cole like it, somebody called her something like that.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, things coming from my own sister when I was younger, her telling all of our friends at school, because, you know, of course, we were only a year apart in school, that I was adopted. I wasn't her sister. I was adopted into the family. That was like, you know, a stab in the chest every time she told people that. And I went home one day and I told Mom and Dad about it. You know, and just, I wasn't playing. Just when, you know what, to hear kids say that to him and, you know, and Cole just blow it off and, you know, all into it when when they were getting their pictures done, okay. But to hear a parent call him that,
yeah,
that was right there. You know what, no, 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 no. And that just kind of, Nick told me, she's like, seriously? And I was like, you know what, I says, and I don't care because, you know, there was two other parents that had you know, that are friends with Nicole that are sitting there. You know, Annette was one of them, and another lady, I didn't know who she was.
Well, that's why you embarrassed Nicole. You didn't embarrass Cole. You embarrassed Nicole.
Yeah. And like I told Nicole, I was like, you know what? I said, why is it that, you know, they're not passing the ball to Chase or Cole? She's like, well, they're taught to, you know, or not letting Chase and Cole shoot. And they were doing that. The coach was doing that with a few other ones. There was only a few of them that was allowed to shoot. Well, those few that they were allowing to shoot was freaking missing.
Well, that's just what I'm saying. They're trying to, them coaches and them teams like that, they're playing for trophies. They don't give a damn about them kids if it's sportsmanship. They're not out for sportsmanship to let them kids learn, try to teach them, and let everybody have a shot at it. They're out trying to win because they want to get bragging rights that we beat Southern Local or we beat, you know,
Beaver Local,
you know, this year. We was the champions. That's all that coach is looking for. They're trying to play it like a college team or a pro ball team. Hey, that is for the kids. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose.
Well, like I told Nicole, I says, you know, I says, that coach is, he's just standing over there with his hands in his pocket looking at them and not encouraging them to go get the ball or do this. And Beaver Locals coaches up and down the court, you know, and directing them as they're going. This guy, and I looked over at all of them. I was like, I says, honestly, I says, I know I'm new to all this whole basketball thing and, you know, the whole Southern Local fam. I said, but you know what? I said, that coach needs to go. I said, he's not doing nothing.
Nope.
And the refs had to keep, you know, encouraging and telling the coach, you know, let's go, let's go, let's go. In between, you know, quarters or times and it's like, shoo. Nick's like, you ain't telling us anything. We've all been trying to preach this. I was like, then you need to go to the school board. If the coach isn't performing well enough to teach these kids how to play basketball and encourage them.
You go in there, you go up there,
them.
And you get his ass. You go up and get in his ass right in front of the school board.
Yeah.
Say, this is nonsense. My kid goes to the school, too. He should have the same opportunity to play the same as everybody else.
Exactly.
And if you can't do it, you ain't going to do no better coaching them than that, then we need a new coach.
Well, just like...
Embarrass him just like everybody else is.
Well, just like when Cole, you know, when Chase made, when they finally threw the ball to Chase and Chase made a shot, you know, I was like ecstatic. And I looked over at Nicole and I was like, well, maybe they shouldn't just make some of them boys just, you know, pass the ball and not shoot.
Right.
And then Cole made a shot too. You know, Cole was more aggressive on the court than Chase was.
Yeah.
But. Because Cole was jumping up trying to block some of the shots from the Beaver Local kids.
Right.
But it was like, Nick's like, well, they can't reach up over top of them. They can't come over their back. I was like, I know. I said, but he can jump up and keep them from passing it.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know enough about basketball, but I just know what I've seen today. That was bad. And then to hear these parents talking about how one of the players is like, you know, really good when he's out there in the, you know, down in Sleenville, they have a basketball court down there at the park.
Right.
And these parents are talking, this one parent was talking about, the one that was on the majority of the shooting, he's phenomenal when you watch him down there playing and this and that. And I was like, yeah, I says, he's playing for fun. I said, they're drilling into these poor kids now. You have to win. You have to do this. Instead of just, you know what, go ahead and
they should be playing for fun, not for
mm-hmm. –
that's all it is, for fun. If they win, they win. If they don't win, oh, well.
Yeah.
There's got to be a winner. There's got to be a loser.
Yeah. I mean –
That's what they're saying anymore. You got to have a participation trophy. Everybody, all these little – snowflakes has got to have a trophy where they win or they lose. No, it never was like that. If you lose, you don't get nothing. You win, you get a trophy. Makes them work harder.
Right. And I believe it was the final score was like 51 to 10.
Shit.
Yeah.
They need a coach.
Exactly. There was this little kid from Beaver Local. He couldn't be more than, you know, well, shit. Not very tall, let me tell you. And he was making layups as he was going under the basket or under the backboard. I know he was just a little short shit kid doing it. And it's like, you know, I told Nick, I was like, that's what these kids need to be learning to do.
Well, you know, because that kid he's probably learning at home. You know, he's playing basketball at home, too. You can't sit in there on the fucking couch, you know, or do other things. And then when it comes time for the game, go out there and expect to be a good player. You got to practice.
Mm-hmm. That's what Nick told the
boys. When I was a basketball man, I was up on the basketball court. Every time I got a minute, I was up there shooting basketball.
Well, like I told, like Nick said, she's like, well, you know, the boys, you know, they're into so many other things and they don't have the time to practice.
Exactly.
I was like, Nicole, I said, they have plenty of time to practice. I said, there's no reason why, you know, you can't get him in over there at the Y, you know, strictly just for court time. Don't get
it
the whole
time. It takes time out of her busy day.
I said, get them a couple hours, you know, on a court somewhere to go and play.
No, because it takes time out of her busy schedule.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
I don't know.
Ugh.
Oh, well. See if I have to walk in and get my fuel receipt when I'm done tonight.
No.
I don't know why they don't fill the damn paper in here, but it don't matter if that price I walk in.
I guess so.
Damn, that looks a lot better. 100 gallon for $400.
Oh.
Still ain't good, but it's better than it was.
Oh, were you filling up while we were talking?
Yeah, I'm standing out here now filling up. Stand over on pasture side of the fuel tank.
Oh.
Why, you can't hear a truck running?
Nope, I cannot. How good that headset is.
Yeah. Except when you reach up, you go to straighten it up or something, and you hit the mute button on it, can't figure out why nobody can hear you. You can hear them, but they can't hear you.
Uh-huh.
I hate that mute button. I've been threatening to super glue it so you can't push it.
Oh, boy.
Place is full. They're backed up clear out the road.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
They're stopping them out there in the road when you turn up the road. There are about four trucks up in there, and then they're stopping them. I guess somebody's standing out the road flagging, and then they're bringing them in here single file, and as one pulls up, they pull another one in. That's the way they did last time when they first opened. Because it's been 449 here ever since they opened this. They've never raised it.
Oh.
And now it went from 440 went from 449, they dropped it to 395. Now, that's bullshit, because if they can afford to do it, so can't the rest of these truck stops.
Yeah. This is
still
true.
Running, so I guess I ain't over. I don't know how much. I can't remember how much I got up there. I got $100-some. So we're about 300, 350 gallon a day, I think.
I think so.
So. Kicked off at 7:02.
Huh.
That was with that 20 gallon down there, so 177 gallon.
Wow.
But last time I fueled up was here.
Yeah.
I fueled up here, spent the night over at Girard, went over and unloaded Youngstown, come home, went to McKeesport, loaded, out to Gary, sat out there all day with it idling last night, went over and loaded this morning, and drove all the way back, well, clear back to Lodi. I could have probably made it back over here on that fuel, but I was scared.
Right.
Yep, $703, 177.571 gallons. It's clear up to the bottom of the necks.
Yeah.
Oh, they did fill it up. Oh. Got pulls up. I'm going to get off here and run in. And we'll go ahead and grab me a couple hot dogs. Since I don't know how many hours people waiting, I better just go.
No, you'll have time to.
I'll get something over there. Something hot to eat tonight. Time is it? 8:45 to 9 o'clock. All right. Yeah. I might run in real quick and take them along.
Well, you can always ask them what the wait is for it. Hot dogs usually don't take them long.
Shouldn't be any wait, really.
Huh.
Girl, I'm just going over to petrol.
Yeah, we're about done to the end of it anyway.
Yeah. Come on, you ass clowns. Get them out of here. Yeah. Man, this ain't road rough coming home.
Well, you said you loaded a little bit wrong.
Yeah, a little bit wrong. That's all right. That'll be all right. Oh, what the hell are you doing, you dickhead? You should have been, should have been over here already. Sit there and wait on your ass. You was in a big hurry to get out of there.
Did you get your receipt?
In front of me and then he got out there in the roof. Huh?
Did you get your receipt?
Yeah, I got it. So I said they filled the machine up with paper.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Oh, man, I feel rough.
Huh.
Chest been tight. Ain't hurting, just, I don't know, tight. Headache. Shoulder shirt. But Jim said, nice, man, I'm just aching all over. I said, yeah, I know. Before we get trailer this week, I need to film a pickup of them.
Right?
Put some of this cheap fuel in it.
Oh.
All right. I'll let you go. Let you sign off. Get out of here. I'll get over and get parked, settled in. I'll give you a call later on.
All right, babe. Sounds good.
All right. I'll talk to you after a bit.
Okay, honey.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. It is officially 9:01 p.m. Eastern. And we went from 44 degrees here in East Liverpool, Ohio, to 45 degrees on this Wednesday evening. And I'm being told that it's going to start raining because we're looking at 100% rain this week, or tomorrow, I should say. So with that being said, I want to wish everybody a happy hump day. And we are now getting down to the sign-off. Now, you guys all know I don't do a lot of the promotion of our sponsors because I get into actual conversations and talking about everything. But I do definitely want to reach out and say thank you to DPF for Generation for Ms. Hattie Jane's continued support of us over the multiple years that we've been doing this. And LTR, Load to Ride out of Denver, Colorado, thank you for their support. And, of course, Trucker Tools for their support in keeping us afloat the last few years as well. So with that all being said, this is Tiffany, Women of Redneck and Eyes, on the Redneck and Eyes Unplugged Radio Network. Signing off and telling you I'll see you next week, y'all. Have a good night. Bye, guys.
Today's truckers have a lot on their minds. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.